And so Daniel now is about 80 years old, somewhere in that vicinity. And so we know that we had talked about the captivity and these young guys, how they went through in chapter 1, how they were trained in those things. And we also saw the party is over. A party is done with Belshazzar, how he partied with all the things of God and all those kind of things with the handwriting on the wall and all that. And now we're moving to a latter part of Daniel's life. I want to read a couple of scriptures, though. It's going to be in Daniel 1. I just want to remind you the type of person that Daniel, as the king of Nebuchadnezzar, had chosen. I just want to read these just to familiarize ourselves again. So the king ordered Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the Israelites from the royal family and from the nobility. And each one would be taught the Chaldean language and literature. And so we know that we see some things here. As a young man, he's sitting around this 80 years old now, and he's been in this captivity for years, and he continues to serve these kings. And what we see here is that from the beginning, he come from royalty or nobility, so he was already from a blue chip family. So and so he was part of that, and he was a young boy without any defects on his body and his face. He was a good-looking guy, and he was full of wisdom and knowledge and perceptive and all those things, and he was chosen to be the highest of all of them. And so the king used him, and he was able to, and God blessed him, and he was able to do things, and he was given the ability to interpret visions and dreams. And so Daniel was a very, very talented, gifted individual that God has used. He's like a statesman. And so we know that God is using him. But also, just a quick note here in 2 Kings. I do want to read this piece to you, too. It's not a piece that says that it's what it is. But it is a piece to think about for a minute. Nebuchadnezzar, when he took them, he did certain things. And so I wanted to share with you just for a second in 2 Kings chapter 20. I wasn't planning on it, but I'm going to do it anyway. This is all about King Hezekiah back in the day. This is in the past. And so it would say that... there's a prophetic piece that says, Isaiah said to Hezekiah, who's king, hear the word of the Lord. Look, the days are coming when everything in your palace and all that your father have stored up until today will be carried off by the Babylonian. And it was, and it did. And some of your descendants whom come from you, whom you father, will be taken away, and they will become eunuchs in the palace of King of Babylon. It doesn't say that Daniel was a eunuch, but it does say there were several of them that were eunuchs in this time frame. But we don't know if Daniel was a eunuch or not, but we do know Daniel, that we don't see any mention of Daniel having a family or any kind of wife or any of those kind of things or children of those things. But I also want to remind you that we also don't see anything negative about Daniel. So many of the great heroes of the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament, they all had these moments where they struggled with life and in the flesh or whatever. But Daniel, we do not get a mention of anything. Doesn't mean he was perfect, but he was used by God, and he feared God, and he served God, and God used him as an amazing piece in this piece working with these kings. And so we see that he has gotten older, and you would think by the time you're about 80, the hardships of life are about done. But he's getting ready to go through one of the hardest ones that is about him. So we're going to be in Daniel. This is the story of Daniel and the lion's den. And we look at this, and we look at seeing who the hero is of this piece, and the hero of this story, and in all of the story, I believe Daniel would say, it is not me, but it is God. That God had knew how to deliver his people, knew how to do things and miracles in this time. Even under captivity, God was still in control. I also want to remind you, even we learn from it tonight and grow from it in Christ's name. Amen. So tonight I'm going to make an attempt to read the scriptures and make an attempt. I believe that all we do really here is make an attempt. We make an attempt to worship God. We make an attempt to preach, make an attempt to teach. There's no greater preacher than Jesus Christ himself. There's no greater singers, I believe, than what's going on in heaven and all that. But we make a great attempt. It's all from the heart and the Spirit of God. So tonight we're going to work through this piece here. I think there's a lot of things that we can learn through the story of Daniel in the lion's den. But here we find out in Darius, first one, Darius decided to appoint 100 satraps over the kingdom, stationed throughout the realm. What we learned last week, that Belshazzar and the king of Chaldeans, that night, that whole prophetic piece and what was written on the wall said, "You have been weighed and you've been found wanting, and your kingdom is over." And that kingdom was over that night. That was fast, and it was that night. And this realm. And over them, he put three administrators, and they had a specific job, including Daniel. So three administrators, including Daniel. These satraps would be accountable to them so that the king would not be defrauded. Daniel distinguished himself above the administrators and satraps because he had an extraordinary spirit. So the king planned to set him over the whole realm. And the administrators and satraps therefore kept trying to find a charge against Daniel regarding the kingdom, but they could not find no charge or corruption, for he was trustworthy, and no negligence or corruption was found in him. Then these men said, "We will never find any charge against this Daniel unless we find something against him concerning the law of his God." Well, we find here on a side note, I want to remind you that when we have a politician who is a believer, we really need to pray for them. We really need to pray for them. You may not care for them. You may not like them and their policies, but I'm telling you, you need to pray for the believers that are in politics, because there's always somebody trying to take them down. And it isn't about their policies so much. It's about what they're doing. It's about who's serving in them. The whole thing is that Satan would distinguish the gospel, extinguish the power of God's Spirit. That won't happen, but he makes attempts and he fights and he does do it at times. But I want to remind you here, this is what's going on in this moment. Daniel is doing his thing, and he is set up. He's setting them up. God has set him up in a special way. And they know something is happening, that he is different. And they put him and these other administrators so they can watch these 120 satraps. Here it is. They want to get rid of him because he is different. They want to get rid of him because he is unique and different. The first thing is that he has an extraordinary spirit. So what they're saying is there's something, not bringing just yourself, your body in. You're bringing the Spirit of the Lord in with you. And so where you go, you represent the Lord. And this man knew how to represent. He was a statesman. He was a believer in God. And he did what God called him to do. He was doing what God called him to do. And here it is. People are always watching you in your life. When you say that you are a believer, the world is watching you. Everyone is watching you. And there's a jealousy and an envy in the world for what you are doing. Unfortunately, there's also jealousy and envy amongst believers. Even in our church, there can be that. Someone doesn't like what someone's getting. Someone got a little more notoriety, got lifted up, got encouraged. Somebody gifted somebody a gift card. Somebody got a position in the church, and there is jealousies and envy. Jealousy is basically, it's you got something, and I really wish you didn't get it. They don't like that. One, they don't want somebody looking over their shoulder, because here it is. What else did they call him out for? He was trustworthy. He was trustworthy. You as a believer should be trustworthy. If you're a believer, we should trust you more than we do the people in the world. Okay? So they didn't like him because he was trustworthy. So that tells you already there's some corruption in the palace. In the realm of the kingdom, that's why Darius put the top three guys, the top guys out. I want you to watch, not the kingdom. I want to watch these 120 guys, because they might be skimming off the table. They might be pulling some things that they shouldn't be pulling. They might be taking some things they shouldn't be taking. And he wants to make sure he is not going to be robbed. He is not going to be, that people aren't going to do things. They didn't like that. They didn't want that. Kind of see that a little bit going on in our own country right now. Be transparent about it. Be transparent about it. I'm not hiding anything. Check it out. Here it is. Daniel was doing what he was supposed to be doing, yet they're charging things against him. And they're saying, he's trustworthy. We don't want that. It probably tells you that a lot of them are skimming, right? They're doing things they shouldn't do. It also says no negligence or corruption was found in him. He was not a corrupt individual. Listen, when we get people in the politic world, even in our state, pray for them because they will get beat up. And they'll say all kinds of reasons, but the real reason is they're trying to do what God's called them to do. They're trying to live a godly life. And so what they do is they say, we want this guy out. We want him out. We want him gone. And so they make a plan. And they said, we're going to put a plan together and we're going to take this guy out. Something on this day, and we're going to try to pull you out of church. We're going to get you away from your church. We're going to pull you out because they know that that's what you're faithful to. You're faithful to the Lord. Listen, the world does those things. They make a plan. And they go to the king. Say, King, man, you're awesome. You're amazing. You know, watch out when they butter you up. You're amazing. You're awesome. You are a king. There's no king like you. You're the guy. Hey, I think we should put 30 days where just everybody just can't worship any gods or idols, but it's all about you. And that's not uncommon back then. That's really not uncommon back then. A lot of times, you read your history books, they set these times aside so that people would just render everything to the king, get their eyes focused back on the king and remember, oh, he's the guy that's in authority. And so they would do that. And so the king signed this decree. But there was something different than the Chaldeans and these Medes. I want to change what I want to change. I'll change what I want to do. I'm the king and his hierarchy to the top. And that was it. These Persian Medes are a little bit different. It's a little bit different. When they make one, they can't change it. When the king makes a law, makes a decree, it can't be changed. So the deal was, hey, if anybody doesn't worship you for these 30 days and they worship something else, other deity, other god, whatever they do, then we'll throw them in the lion's den. All right, sounds like a good thing. Kind of puts me at the top. Signs it away. Right? Wow, signs it away. Let's look at something. So the story goes, they get it in. Their plan was they didn't care about anybody else in the kingdom. They had their focus on Daniel. Let me tell you, when you're doing what God's called you to do, there is a target on you. There is a target on you. And you might be told to do, and he's doing it with trustworthy, being a confident guy, loving the Lord, being the man he needs to be, being honest, had integrity, and he had good character. And that's what they hit him on, the good things. Verse 15, it says, then these men went together. They said, we got him. We got this boy now. We got him. And together to the king and said this to him, you know, your majesty, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no edict or ordinance that the king established can be changed. So they went and said, you know that law, that decree that you made, it can't be changed. I want to remind you of that. So the king gave the order and they brought Daniel, said, hey, they brought Daniel in and he's going to put him in the lion's den. That's what the decree said, right? So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. And the king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you continually serve, rescue you. Now here's the thing in the palace, and they had a relationship. And Darius knew. But he says, may your God whom you continually serve rescue you. People around you know if you're a believer. You know that? They know by certain things. One, they know where you are on Sunday mornings. They know that you're going to be in church on most Sunday mornings. They know if they come to your house to eat that you are going to pray before you eat. They know that you're going to have discussions. You're going to talk about things of God. You're going to talk about other people and the way that you can pray for people. And so those character things of a Christian will come out. And I believe that King Darius knew that. And that's why he was able to say, may your God save you. Maybe that God will rescue you. And then a stone Verse 17, and a stone was brought and placed over in here. You're on your own. Sometimes we are divided. Sometimes it's circumstance. Sometimes it's what we believe. Sometimes it's just who we are. But we're being divided. And now we have a friendship. Now it's divided. We have one over here that now that's in this, it's in this lion's den, and we have one over here that's like, man, this is my friend. This is I can't. He's going to begin to stress out. He says, then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, which means no music, no snacks, none of that stuff was coming, and he could not sleep. You ever have something happen in your life that you know the next day, especially if you got court the next day. You got court the next day. You do not sleep. You got hurt, right? Right? You don't know what's going to happen. It's out of your hands now. It's out of your hands. It's not about money. It's not about money. Listen, the emergency room, let me tell you a minute, money doesn't fix everything. Cancer doesn't know rate. Cancer doesn't know. Cancer hits, it hits. Whatever it is, it hits. Here it is. King Darius is over here. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. He's stressing out. He's in this moment. He's not sleeping at all. It's one of those moments. And I want to remind you this. Silence can be loud. And you know, when you're in bed, your mind can spin in all directions. Why is it that when we're laying down, our mind spins faster than the rest of the day? Because we're thinking. We're processing all the ifs, the what. This is what's going on with him. This is what we call a sleepless night. You're in and you're out. You're in, you're out. It's anxiety. It's stressful. On the other side, we have someone that was put into a lion's den that now the rock, the stone, it is locked in. He's locked in. He's not getting out. Some people believe that Daniel maybe hid around, found a little cubby hole and hid. No. Some people think that he fought him off and was tough enough. No. 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 You see, the world will come up with all kinds of excuses and reasons to go against what the scriptures say. Because the world will not accept that God is in charge and God is God. The world will never accept it. Here we're talking about Daniel now. King's doing his thing, and they kept him hungry. They kept him hungry so they would attack. They kept him very hungry. And here it is, they put him in there so that he would die and eat up and he would be done and devoured and they would have their way and it would be great. What do you think happened behind that? What do you think happened behind that when it was sealed shut? I'm going to tell you what happened. Scripture doesn't give us a lot, but what we know is what happens is this. When a believer walks into a room like that, he is not alone. What did it say they were charging him for? It said this back in verse 3. He had an extraordinary spirit. Where do you buy that at? Where do you get that? Can I go down to Walmart and order me one of them? No. Can I make one of them? No. Can you give it to me? No. Can I give it to you? No. Where does that? Now, an extraordinary spirit would be the Holy Spirit that works and comes and dwells in all believers that we talked about on Sunday. So this man's walking in. He is walking in, not as just Daniel. He's walking in with the Spirit of God in him. It isn't that the lions feared him. Well, what does the Scripture say? It says this in verse 19, at the first light of dawn, the king got up. Yeah. That's a restless night. No sleep, right? At the first light, he got up and he hurried to the lion's den. That means he ran. He ran to the lion's den. He wanted to see. To him, there was some type of hope in him. There's got to be something. There's got to be something here. Because I'm sure he heard about some of the other things about Daniel. But here's the thing. Sometimes we hear about other people's testimonies, but we don't believe them. Out in anguish to Daniel, he cries out. He said, Daniel, servant of the living God. What did he just do? He testified. The king testified. God's name will be lifted up no matter what. And here it is. You have this king who is running to a man of God. That don't make sense, does it? He's running to the man of God, and he's saying, has your God whom you continually serve? What he's saying is, you've been faithful to your God. Has he been able to rescue you from the lion? Now, he can't see him, but he's yelling. I wonder, think about one of your hardest moments in your life. And flipping it around, who have you been going to check on them when they're in those moments? Because we all find ourselves in moments where we feel like we don't know that there's a way out or a way through it. This man was desperate for his friend. Here's what drives me. This man is not a man of God, really. He hears about God, but not a man of God, really. He knows. But we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, dwells inside of each believer. Why is it that we are not as encouraging? Because we're too busy wrapped up about ourselves. We're too busy about what's going on in my life. You know, we don't understand pain of other people. We understand our personal pain. Wow, I can't believe that happened to me. But how come we can't say, man, brother, I'm so sorry that's happening to you? Man, you want to see a church catch on fire for Jesus, be more concerned about other people than yourself. And here we find out that the king comes and he says, rescue. And then Daniel spoke up. He spoke with the king. He said, may the king live forever. Yeah. He said, my God sent his angel. There was something beautiful happened behind there. Something that was supposed to be horrible and a disaster. Sometimes when you got something that looks like it's horrible and disaster, trust in the Lord. You watch. He can turn something that looks ugly and nasty and turn it into something beautiful. And I'm telling you, there's a moment in there that you can't get sometimes until you get into a lion's den. That you can't get until you get into a spot, because you're going to find out that you couldn't do anything about fixing the situation. But then you call. There's going to be even believers that's not going to believe you. He said, my God sent his angel and he shut the lion's mouth. What he's describing is about, this is a little piece, and they haven't harmed me. For I was found innocent before him. I wonder really what really happened back there in that conversation. Did he just see it all happen? Wow, that's amazing. Or did he watch what? Did he hear words? Was there a conversation? We don't know all that, but what we do know is he is testifying to what happened. My God sent his angel. We don't pray to angels. They wouldn't want you to anyway. We only pray to God, right? We pray to Christ. Yep. There's been times in my walk, times where I said, Lord, can you send some heavenly help? I knew what that meant. The Lord knew what that meant. I said, there needs to be some serious help here. This is a situation that I don't believe any person's going to help me through this, or it's going to help this situation, but I know that you have it all, and I know they're even around. And I pray that you would just do something with it and move. Because sometimes we need to have the lion's mouth to be shut. Sometimes that lion is not an apex animal as a lion, but it is an apex person that we need to have shut. I've had a few of those in my walk with the Lord. Lord, get them out of here. They're causing problems. They're struggling. I'm struggling. I don't even know what I'm doing. It caused me confusion. And the Lord takes them out. But he says, I've been found innocent before him. And also before you, your majesty, I have not done harm. He says this, the king was overjoyed and gave orders to take Daniel out of the den. Overjoyed. He was super happy. He was rejoicing with someone else's rejoice. When they were rejoicing, they were rejoicing. And I think that's an awesome piece. And when Daniel was brought up from the lion's den, I'm telling you, Daniel went down as a statesman, awesome, but he came up the same way. But I'm telling you, anytime you go through a moment like that, you grow real big in your walk with the Lord. Because you know what's getting ready to happen now? Next, hopefully we'll get there next week, is an amazing piece where things are going to get even more spiritual. God is all through Daniel's life, you'll see him working these steps all through, and then there's going to be this pivotal point. It wasn't with Nebuchadnezzar in the dream. It wasn't Belshazzar with the handwriting on the wall. It wasn't some of the other things that he was interpreting, or even this lion, somebody with the words of the future. I'm not talking what's going to happen just in a few, but end time stuff. And we're going to see Daniel get sick because he can't understand it. It's so deep, but it's an amazing piece that we're going to look into here. God gives us those times. We'll get into that, but here in the next few weeks. But here's what we see. The king now, he says, gave a command to these men, to those men who put this all together, and they accused Daniel, and they brought him and threw them in the lion's den, and they threw their children in and their wives in. Like, what? Why would that king do that? Because people hold grudges. People hold things. It's like, this kid's going to grow up, and you know who he's going to go after? The king, when the king's older. Not in my book. Whole family getting wiped out. There it is, done. And the king does it. He couldn't change that law. He couldn't change that decree about the lion's den, but he has overpowered them and crushed all their bones. What he's saying, the scriptures are saying, is when they were put into that, before they even reached the bottom, those lions were already over them. Devoured them. Took them out. And this is the part I think is the highlight of the whole thing. Once again, God uses a man who didn't know much about him, but now does. Verse 25, then King Darius wrote those of every people, nation, and language who live in the whole earth. He says that, may your prosperity abound. I issue a decree that in all my royal dominion, people must tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. Wow, what's he doing? He's testifying. And he's testifying with a letter more than what anybody else can do in the kingdom, because what happens is he just made a decree. In fear of God, they must tremble in the fear before God, the God of Daniel. Here's what he says. For he is the living God. Who do you think said that? Who do you think put that on there, really? Right? For he is the living God. He's preaching and don't even know it. He says, for he is the living God. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his dominion has no end. He rescues and delivers. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth, and he has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. He just testified, and he just preached an amazing piece. You think people listen? Back in chapter 4, Daniel also did a great piece. And he interprets a dream for Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar goes crazy and wild, all this peace, and then he comes to his senses because he realizes that God is God and he is not all. The message came to Nebuchadnezzar, fulfilled. He was driven away from people. He ate grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with dew from the sky until his hair grew like eagle's feathers and his nails were like bird claws. He looked like an animal. But then he comes to his senses. And this is what he does. But at the end of those days, he said, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven and my sanity returned to me. Then I praised the Most High and honored and glorified him who lives forever. This is what Nebuchadnezzar says. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is for generation to generation. All the inhabitants on the earth are counted as nothing, and he does what he wants with the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. There is no one who can block his hand or say to him, what have you done? He also preached and testified about the God. So we have two kings that knew not much about God because they went through something. They went through something. Can get the joy not of your pain, but the joy of the gospel through your pain. But God does not forget what we've been through. This does not mean every time you get in the lion's den that you will make it out unscathed. It doesn't mean that maybe the lion's den is your end. It doesn't matter. God is with you. But I know this, that even when we pass from this earth into heaven with the Lord, there is nothing, no one wants to come back. It's too awesome. But, so we get blessings over there. But what does God do for us here? God remembers and knows you, what you went through. You cannot outgive God. You cannot outbless God. Daniel is not going to outbless what God did. So what happens in verse 28? So Daniel prospered. What? Daniel prospered. Remember last week Belshazzar said, listen, I'll give you you tell me what the handwriting is. I don't want it. You keep it and give it to someone else. And he interprets it. But guess what? He puts it on it anyway. He puts all that stuff on Daniel anyway. Why? Because you have to do what the king says. And God was moving Daniel all the way up. And now God is prospering. So it says, Daniel prospered. God blessed him. Do not think that God doesn't bless here. God blesses here. Look around. Look at your life. Look where you would be without Jesus today. Look where you would be if you didn't follow God's calling in your life. Look where you would be. God is prospering. Even though the road sometimes gets hard, God blesses. He says, So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius. It doesn't stop there. And the reign of Cyrus the Persian. You got Nebuchadnezzar. You got a few other kings. You got Belshazzar. You got who stands strong. Stayed the same all the way through. Wasn't going to change. Stuck with his convictions when the crowd and the throne said, you can't do this. He would do all that he was called to do. But if it overshadowed the things of God, he would say, nope. Not going to happen. He didn't fight it. He just went back to his room and began to pray. He would do things that people said he couldn't do. He would do it anyway. And no matter what would happen, he would continue to do it. And we falter on the smallest of things. We fall short sometimes on the easiest of things. So Daniel prospered. Like, what do you want? What do you want when you're 80 some years old? Listen, they're in captivity and more. I don't know about you, but I know this. You really can't say, now let me change it. Let me say it this way. God is faithful. Even when you don't think He is, He's faithful. God is every moment you go through in life, God is there. You got one life to live. Don't abuse the calling of being a believer in your life. Don't abuse it. Because at the pivotal moments, God wants to use. But that's exactly what the Lord wants. We can say we're not ready. It's fine because He knows when we say we're ready, we're really not ready. When we say we're not ready, what we're saying in spirit is, I can't do this without you. I don't know what to do. And it's okay as long as we're leaning on the Lord. Who knows what to do being thrown in the lion's den? What do? You fall on your face. You know that he either fell on his face and was in prayer the whole time and didn't look up, or he was praying and looked up. He kept his eyes open, or he walked in and all of a sudden he just saw it all happening right before him. What else are you going to do? But he never changed who he believed in. He never changed his walk. He never changed his character. He never changed it. There was no corruption in this man. And that's what they were trying to get him for. So don't be surprised when you're doing the right thing that people don't go after you. When you're in school and you're one of the few Christian working in the minds of young people, or in your place of work where everybody else wants to go to the parking lot and drink beers and do all kinds of stuff. You be different. You live that life. Live that life God's called you to. And don't be surprised. You start looking back and go, look what's going on with these people. Look what's going on with these people. Why am I being so blessed? Why is God blessing me so much? Why is prosperity? Why is it happening to me? I don't understand it. Because God blesses those who are faithful. God blesses those who keep on going and are steady. Finish and run your race. And when you think it's over, it's not, because next time Daniel is going to go through even something I think is even harder than anything he's gone through. Because spiritual things are hard to understand. Father, most of us, Lord, some of us understand, some of us may not, but it's okay. We're all in different places in our walk with you and how we're living. I pray, Father, for anyone, Lord, tonight that is struggling, Lord, with persecution being talked about, being said things about, and maybe even people trying to set someone up for failure or to even be fired because they're a believer in you. I pray, Father, for strength amongst those who are struggling in other ways with their walk, just trying to get up each day and live a life that is pleasing to you, can be hard sometimes. I pray, Father, for each one of us tonight that we may fulfill your will and your destination for us in Christ.